Rather than preach on the readings today, since we are having our annual meeting, I'm going to give my priest in charge remarks, my reflections. I'm writing this first annual meeting report to you with exactly 3 months under my belt as your priest in charge. While I've shared some of these thoughts with the vestry in my interview, I thought I would begin by sharing with you why I applied to join you in ministry in the first place. I had known a bit about St. Peter's through Brian Swanson, who is your former treasurer and former member. He was also a former member at St. James Pocatonic, where I served before joining you. I would see him at diocesan conventions, and he would always sit with me. Years back, he talked about some of the struggles you had to maintain yourselves as a community and the ongoing extensive fundraising efforts you did and put in place in order to do so. Then I got to know your former rector, Father Perry, a bit from his attendance at the Tuesday clergy breakfast that we have weekly in Chaplain. And then Perry had his heart attack. I know it was a long struggle back, and my good friend John Burton filled in with pastoral care, and he also shared his impressions of St. Peter's with me. It was during this time that I had a very realistic dream of standing behind the altar here for Sunday services. It seemed so real, as if God were preparing me for a future call. During this difficult time, my big takeaway about you as a parish is that you made an intentional decision to continue with all the various ministries and programs, whether your priest was able to join you or participate or not. Also, having my former parishioners, the Litwins, return here last year provided some insight how your life together was evolving and gaining energy. I was impressed to learn of your dedication and desire to come together and to thrive. So once I heard of Perry's retirement, I called Bishop Douglas to have lunch and to express my desire to join you in ministry. This was back in early March. So the process went forward, and here I am. And I have not been disappointed. You have demonstrated you are ready for a new chapter in your common life. You have done the work of dreaming dreams and are beginning to realize them. The poster child for this being the new kitchen, which was a dream for years and now a reality. There are other aspects to the parish hall that have and will get more attention to make it a truly inviting space that hopefully will become a place to be used not only by the parish, but as a place for the larger community to access and advance community and ministry. You began the year of 2017 not certain where it would lead, but determined to get there together, and you did it. We began 2018 with a renewed sense of energy and purpose. My hope is that the energy you put into your events, dinners, and fundraisers will spill over more and more into our worship and spiritual growth in the coming year. And I'm seeing signs of that already happening. I find there is a real joy that is growing in our spiritual life and in our common prayer and worship. I have watched us gather this first month of the year and say farewell to three members of our parish who have been dearly and deeply loved: Phil Petros, Henry Jones, and Emil Karen. Now a week or so, not even a week complete past these funerals, I know the loss will hang over us for a time and will impact each of us differently. I am reminded of a Mary Oliver poem called Blackwater Woods. In it she says, "To live in this world, you must be able to do three things: to love what is mortal, to hold it close to your bones, knowing your own life depends on it, and then when the time comes, to let it all go." These men in their own ways took on this work in their lives. Phil dedicated his life to the care of young people in despair, touching and saving the lives of young people in peril. Henry lived all but 4 of his 97 years in Hebron, and at this parish he held and loved more deeply than any of us will ever fully know. Emile used his gifts, time and talent, to care for the community as a sexton. All three did the work Mary Oliver talks about in her poem. They loved what was mortal. All that was given to them, they cared for in this life. They held it close to their bones and then let it go and went back to the source of their being. I mention this because I think her quote holds wisdom for us as we move forward this year. I believe you have made a conscious decision to love this place and one another through this time of change. You chose to hold it close to your bones as if your life depended on it. You strengthen your commitment through time, treasure, and talent to be a vital, vibrant community. You did things this year, this past year, that you didn't think you were capable of doing. Where I think each of us has some work to do now is to not be afraid to let go of the things that may be obstacles to our moving forward. Believing one of our growing edges is to consider how we approach decision-making as a parish. Because so many people here are so engaged and have passion for community, I sense that sometimes we feel that we must have consensus on everything before we can move forward with a decision. And my friends, that is simply not possible. Bishop Douglas refers to this as the tyranny of consensus, where we are too overly concerned that everyone agrees on every decision in order to not offend anyone. While it sounds good in concept, this desire for complete consensus actually creates divisions and resentments. We could stymie ourselves from moving forward if total consensus is required on everything. I hope this year we can build supportive structures in our common areas of ministry where communications are clearer and trust is built among us so everyone doesn't have to be part of everything and every decision. I certainly know I don't want that for myself. To be part of every single decision could diminish our energy and passion for ministry and service. I personally would much rather let go of some of my own authority in order to trust that my brothers and sisters will make the best decision that can be made. Let's not make perfect the enemy of the good. And that's the part of letting go that Mary Oliver talks about in her poem. So I hope that we can develop structures around our core areas of life together in order to foster greater participation that supports the energy and passion and creates clarity and transparency among us all. It's easy sometimes to look around and see all that remains undone and needs attention. But I want to tell you from where I stand, you have done an amazing job moving forward through this transition from a long-term pastor into this new time. Take a moment to give yourselves a pat on the back for what you have accomplished. And even more importantly, take a moment to intentionally thank one another for the ministries that have brought us to this new day. As I'm fond of saying, God has given us all that we need. We have enough. And more than enough. We simply need to trust and believe in it. And may God continue to bless you and surprise you and I in ways that we cannot yet ask or imagine.